I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning to you. Happy Thursday. I hope that you got some sleep if you're just waking up. Well, hello. We are thinking ahead a bit to football and what we've got. Four games. The big dogs get to eat the top seeds, the ones and the twos. But also thinking about those teams that did not make the playoffs and are introducing new head coaches, and we're playing a little game of fill in the blank. 2020 is the year of the what? And no, I do not mean the Chinese zodiac and the rat. No one wants a year of the rat. And so maybe it's because we see too many of them in the New York City area. I'm good if I never see another rat. They are creepy creepertons. In fact, that was one of the things I thought of with the scratching and the clawing and the scurrying around in my attic. But I've never seen a rat in my neighborhood, so I don't think that that's what it was. I'm just going to keep telling myself that. There'll be no reason for a rat to be in my attic. That's not how I wanted to start this hour of the show. Anyway, it's not the year of the rat. We're naming it something different. 2020 is the year of the what? We're asking you to fill in the blank, whether it's a word, whether it's a phrase, whether it's a team. 2020 is the year of the what? So for me, this is just one of my suggestions. I think 2020 could be the year of Simone Biles because we have another Olympics looming, and she is certainly going to be, if not the athlete to watch, one of the top handful of athletes to watch. She's trying to become the first woman in a half century to repeat as the all-around gymnastics champion. She appears to be in incredible form and shape. She excels at every apparatus, and it's also got a flair for the dramatic. And so maybe she is the Michael Phelps of the upcoming Olympics. Remember, he had the most golds in a single Olympics when he took home those eight in Beijing. I can still remember where I was when I was watching, back in 2008, but also looking at what he did in Rio, because this was expected to be his last Olympics, and he had kind of his swan song. Well, she had four golds and a bronze in Rio in 2016. She was also Team USA's flag bearer in the closing ceremonies. She wows us. She's got that Deshaun Watson factor, and I'm referring to his play in overtime where he eluded what appeared to be a sandwich of defenders and completed a throw downfield. Just that wow, jaw-dropping factor. She's already got the record for the most all-around titles, the most medals won at world championships. She accomplished that in 2019. So what can she do for her encore in the Olympics in Tokyo? So potentially 2020 could be the year of Simone Biles. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. You can get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. We're getting a variety of answers from college teams to pro teams to individual athletes to some trends that might be off the beaten path. But I did see a couple of you say that 2020 is the year of Jerry Jones. Gosh, more than 2019 was? It seemed like, and the year before that too, it seemed like we were hearing from Jones every 5 minutes. And it's because his coaching situation was in the spotlight. Well, hiring Mike McCarthy isn't going to take it out of the spotlight. And hearing Jerry Jones tell us what the clinching moment was and why he knew he was supposed to hire Mike McCarthy, well, that probably won't take him off the front page of the newspapers either, so to speak.
I did hear bells. My sister explained to my dad one time when she was explaining why she wanted to divorce. And Dad loved her husband, and he said, "What's gotten into you?" And she said, I don't hear bells. He said, bells? Bells? I hadn't heard bells for the last 30 years. What's that got to do with it? Well, the bottom line is that's a dad trying to advise his daughter on the right move. The bottom line is I heard bells.
You guys, am I the Stephen Jones of sports radio? Is that what I am? I love Stephen Jones. Now he might be my favorite Jones. He just sits there and laughs into the microphone the entire time. Everything his dad says, everything Mike McCarthy says that was funny. Stephen Jones, right up close and personal with the microphone, laughing away.
The bottom line is, I heard bells.
That's me. Stephen Jones and I, we are kindred spirits. Something I discovered over the past 12 hours. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Jerry Jones, bottom line is, I heard bells, baby. Bells. So great. I mean, only Jerry. I don't know that anyone else has ever given an endorsement quite like that one. And yet Mike McCarthy got very emotional himself, and he says there was also a moment when he knew this was the right job.
Jerry's telling a story about the purchase of the Dallas Cowboys, and at the end of the story, he leans over to me, and he grabs him by the forearm and reaches out to shake my hand. He says, and you need to be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys. So I jumped up and hugged him, but and I'll stop right there. We had a hell of a time. Just say that.
There's my guy, Stephen Jones, cackling again. That's not the important part. But you know that Mike McCarthy is an emotional guy based on what we've seen from him in that Tom Pelissero piece that he did on NFL Network, but also hearing and seeing him get choked up at this press conference. He's an emotional guy. AJ Hawk told us about a month ago that he wears his heart on his sleeve, and we certainly have seen that. And I think to hear him talk about the journey that he's gone through over the past year is significant. For any of us who've ever had maybe a job or a career change, if you've been fired, I have. Maybe there are some moments of fear and doubt and confusion. Maybe this wasn't for me. Is this the end of my career? What am I going to do? How am I going to get back into it? I mean, he's a human being. So, of course, there were moments where I'm sure he had some of those same types of emotions. But also, when something that you love is taken away from you, not by your choice, but just by the way circumstances play out, when something you love is gone, either for a time or permanently, you never take it for granted again. And in the emotion of Mike McCarthy on Wednesday, I felt like we were seeing and hearing some of that. It had been a long time since he hadn't coached. And after 13 years as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, I'm sure he'd gotten comfortable. This was his life. This was what he was good at. It was his identity. It wasn't just what he did. It was part of who he was. And then boom, it's gone. Just like that. Unceremoniously dumped before the season's even over. He chose to take a year off, which I think is really smart. But you can also tell how much he missed it, but that he's not going to take it for granted ever again.
Been a year of reflection. My wife said I won't make it through 10 words. I think I got to about six. But reflection of just what a blessed man I am. Great moments that I've been a part of. My wife is the love of my life. You know, we have beautiful children, come from a blessed family, you know, and professionally was able to lift the Lombardi Trophy.
He's oozing gratefulness. Again, taking nothing for granted because you don't get to do this forever. And if you can first coach the Green Bay Packers and win a Super Bowl title and have the success that he did and then move on to one of the most iconic franchises in sports, as he also talks about, well, then you know that you are blessed to have another chance like this one.
This is an unbelievable facility, but the reality of it is you don't just see it, you feel it. And that's something that's real for everybody that has a chance to walk through these doors. And I just want to tell you, you know, the importance and the understanding of how to protect and be the steward of this iconic franchise.
he talks about winning the title there, the Super Bowl title, after the 2010 season, doing it in Dallas at AT&T Stadium. And that now he wants to work on bringing one to the Cowboys that is their own. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I am not at all surprised that Jerry Jones mentioned Jason Garrett. We know that he's fond of Jason Garrett. He actually gives Garrett some credit for helping him settle on Mike McCarthy.
One of the biggest things that impressed me was I told Jason Garrett that I was going to be visiting with Mike. Before we had the visit, when Jason and I were talking, and I said, he said, "You're not going to meet anybody any more special than Mike. I love his story. I love him. He's great." And so, to give you an idea of a class act, that's it right there.
I'm waiting for some Jason Garrett news now. Oh, and the Cleveland Browns, you are on the clock. You've got now you've got the entire stage to yourself. You're the only team that doesn't have a coach. Although if you snooze too long, you might lose some of your potential candidates to other jobs around the NFL. We've got a poll up on Twitter. In fact, I'll retweet it. It's very neat and tidy because we've had four new head coaches hired. Cleveland, you're not in this poll because you don't have a head coach. But we're asking you, of these four who have been named to new positions, who have now signed on the dotted line, which one will be most successful, do you think, in 2020? Honestly, as much as I believe that Mike McCarthy will be great for Dallas, and right now he's leading in the poll, I believe you'll see a greater rise, a more precipitous rise in terms of culture, in terms of expectations, in terms of standard, maybe even in terms of personnel. But the Redskins have a lot farther to climb. So they're so far down the ladder. They've got a lot more rungs that they can ascend. And I believe that you'll see a greater change only because they have more to change than the Cowboys do. The Cowboys have a lot of potential free agents that they have to think about. But let's just say that they keep the core in place. They're much more competitive at this stage than are the Washington Redskins. But Ron Rivera will be able to change a lot. The Cowboys don't have a non-winning culture. I wouldn't say they have a losing culture. They have high expectations. They just haven't met them. With the Redskins, it's a total rebuild. The Cowboys aren't in rebuild mode. It's more about resetting, getting a fresh voice and a fresh group of leaders. And McCarthy is definitely working on that. Now, Matt Rhule was also introduced. Very different setting in Charlotte. So there's a table, plenty of room for Jerry Jones and the laugher, Stephen Jones. I say that with so much affection, flanking Mike McCarthy. So there was a table where they could all hang out up there together, all had microphones. For Matt Rhule, it was more like he was introduced as the keynote speaker at a conference. David Tepper says a couple words and then exit stage right. Well, our left, their right. And introduces Matt Rhule. And Matt Rhule has a podium and a microphone and a gigantic stage all to himself. He did talk to Cam Newton, so we'll hear what he had to say. And we hope, fingers crossed, I don't even know if I should tell you this now, but we're hoping this morning to connect with Steve Diossi, the former linebacker and long snapper for the Patriots and the Giants. He had his wires crossed. We did not yesterday morning, but we believe that we've got it lined up for this morning. So we want to talk to him about the hiring of Joe Judge.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Individual statistics get highlighted in today's society and today's football watchers because of fantasy football, you know, because of gambling, because of all this other stuff. And at the end of the day, the people in the locker room, all we care about is winning. And that's the only thing we want to do is win.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Christian McCaffrey, the star of the show for the Carolina Panthers in his first two seasons. He was the highlight this year. A lot of other areas they struggled. And that resulted in Ron Rivera being let go early and David Tepper getting a head start on the new era with the Panthers. Matt Rhule said he only spoke to the Panthers. And I think once you have an offer for up to $70 million over 7 years, you might be okay with canceling your other interviews. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Major question mark for Matt Rhule and for David Tepper and the rest of the front office with the Panthers is, what about Cam Newton? What do you do at the quarterback spot? And Rhule is already on it.
I had a chance to talk to Cam yesterday, and I have the utmost respect for him and what he's done. And I love the way he talked to me, to be quite honest. He didn't want to talk about the past. He wanted to talk about the future. And so, but other than that, I would much rather talk to those guys and kind of get a feel for not just Cam, but all the players in the roster and really have a good process moving forward for the entire roster.
So there's a lot that he has to do now, hit the ground running. And he was part of the Giants organization for a year, going back to the early 2010s. Sounds weird to say. I believe it was 2012 where he was with the New York Giants. And that was kind of why he was tied to the Giants. And that seemed to be the only place where he might land. But he was very impressive in his interview process. And for David Tepper, it was worth throwing at him. And it's not so much the money to me. It's the 7-year contract, which in coaching circles is unheard of.
We did a lot of research on everybody, right? People that we didn't even talk to yet. And I think for me, trying to, build something a little different, and some of the things that, Matt was talking about on stage, just a commonality of some of the things we were thinking about, how you build a program, how you get, a certain amount of toughness. And I've talked about this on the business side. I talked about this for Charlotte, and I talked about this in general, being the best.
He wants a new era. He wants something a little bit different. Well, he got that. He went outside the box, off the beaten path with Matt Rhule. And I'm interested, intrigued, fascinated to see how this plays out. In fact, even as we hear these coaches, and I believe Joe Judge will actually be making his first public comments. He'll be introduced on Thursday. And now I'm got my appetite really revved up and whetted for more football. So we're not going to see these guys for quite a while, but this makes me ready to kind of jumpstart another season. We still have 7 games left in this season, of course, but the end will come very quickly. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. 2020 is the year of the what? We're asking you to fill in the blank. Don't believe 2020 will be the year of Tom Brady's retirement because judging by his Instagram post, and we think could figure this out because of his competitiveness, that he still has more to prove. He is uber competitive. It's why he continues to do it, but he also loves it. He loves everything about it. He was born to be a football player. And based on his Instagram post, which was really more of a thank you to fans, kind of an explanation about what drives him, what drives them. I'll pick it up at the end and just read it to you. In both life and football, failure is inevitable. You don't always win. You can, however, learn from that failure, pick yourself up with great enthusiasm, and place yourself in the arena again. And that's right where you will find me, because I know I still have more to prove. Doesn't sound like a man who is ready to retire. However, his future is more murky than just, hey, I want to play football again, because he doesn't have a contract past March 18th. There is this time here where the Patriots can negotiate with him, get him this new contract, if that's what they want to do, before he hits the free agent market. They can't tag him, so that's off the table. I found it odd. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's the choice of words. Bob Kraft certainly can be awkward at times. But he told Peter King that his hope and prayer is that Brady either plays for New England or retires. No. If he doesn't play for you, you don't get to dictate what happens with his future. And I said this before on the show. This annoys me. And usually it comes from fans. It's one of my pet peeves. we don't get to tell other people when they retire. It's like trying to tell me when I'm going to take down my Christmas tree. Nah, it's none of your business. If an employer wants to pay Tom Brady, and it's not the Patriots because the Patriots don't want to pay him, or they don't want to pay him as much as he thinks he's worth, whatever the reason is, I honestly believe there's a very small chance, maybe a snowball's chance in Hades, that Tom Brady doesn't play for the Patriots next year. I think it's very slim chance. But because he doesn't have a contract, there is a chance. They could get to the point where they don't agree on money. But for Kraft to say, my hope and prayer is that he either plays for New England or he doesn't play at all. Ew. It's like, no, man. If you want him to play for the Patriots, well then pay him. Pay him to play for the Patriots. But if you don't pay him to play for the Patriots, you don't get to say what he does after that. No. If you let him walk, you forfeit any right to be involved in his future career. So right now the onus is on Bob Kraft and Bill Belichick and getting a deal done if that's what they want. If you don't pay him, someone will. And there are lots of rumors, lots of speculation about what could happen. Again, I think the most likely situation is that he ends up in New England. They should pay him. He's iconic to that franchise, and he can still play football. Is he in his prime anymore? No. But I still think he's the best option for that offense, especially since they don't have somebody else who's going to step in and run it the way he is. But if you don't pay him and you don't keep him, well, then he's free to do what he wants. Retire. Doesn't sound like he wants to retire to me. He's only going to be 43 after all. A-Law Radio is where you can find me on Twitter. Yeah, let's see. 2020 is the year of the what? What do you think, Andrew Bogish? 2020 is the year of the what?
You've stumped me.
Really? You can't think of anything?
Well, I'm sorry. I need context. What do you mean the year of the what?
Well, you know, like the Chinese zodiac calendar. Well, I'm saying, like, calls it the year of the rat.
Right. Am I guessing animal? Am I guessing the year
No, you're telling me what you would like 2020 to be. 2020 is the year of the what?
More sleep.
Okay. All right, so note to self, don't ever ask Andrew a question that might stump him again.
Please.
This is not
I'd great appreciate
radio.
That, the year of that.
All right, cool. It is the year of no longer crosstalking with Andrew Bogish. There we go.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
First and 10th, the Philadelphia 20. Eagles up 10-3. First possession of the third. Play fake to Barkley. Jones back. He's under pressure. He rolls left. Now lobs it left corner of the end zone. And it is caught for a touchdown by Tate in traffic over Rasul Douglas.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
A changing of the guard in many corners of the NFC East. That includes the New York Giants, though they do have their franchise quarterback and a star running back in place. A lot of youth on the Giants roster. And now, speaking of youth, the third youngest NFL head coach in Joe Judge, who will be introduced on Thursday. The voice of the Giants radio network is Bob Papa. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, and you can also find us on Twitter and Facebook. We're asking you to fill in the blank. 2020 is the year of the what? We certainly know 2020 starts out with the playoffs, and this weekend the NFL and CBS is home to the divisional round. Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, the Titans will attempt to shock the world again. They head to Baltimore to face Lamar Jackson and the top-seeded Ravens. And then on Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern, it's kind of pushed back from the normal Sunday schedule, noon Pacific, two of the game's elite young quarterbacks on each sideline, Deshaun Watson and the Texans, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Both games kick off with the NFL Today only on CBS. We are pleased to welcome former Giant, Patriot, Cowboy, linebacker, long snapper Steve DiAssi is joining us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Happy New Year to you, Steve. Thanks for a couple of minutes.
Thanks, Amy. Happy New Year. How's everything?
It's good. It's well, you know, this is the time of the year where it's all about the NFL drama. And it's kind of fun to have not just playoffs to think about, but new coaches to think about. And you actually are in the unique position of having played for for multiple franchises who are going through transition. So first, I'd love to get your reaction to Joe Judge from the Patriots system to the Giants as a head coach.
Well, I think surprise was the first reaction, but not surprised because of the quality of coach that I think Joe Judge is. It just seemed like it happened very quickly, and it seemed like Joe must have made a quite an impression on the Giants with the interview. And he's always been held in high regard here in New England, and he's been known as someone who was on the track, but I think this surprised people in New England anyway. Maybe a year or two earlier than some people thought, but he's well regarded. We know Bill Belichick has a great relationship with him and relied on him for more than just the special teams and wide receiver stuff. So I'm surprised by how quickly it happened, but not the fact that it happened.
There's also some talk, or I guess the potential, that Josh McDaniels could end up leaving as well and taking a job in Cleveland. It wouldn't be the first time that he's been in the running for these high-profile jobs or was talked about leaving. What does that do to a staff when you not only lose your special teams coordinator, wide receivers coach, but maybe, let's just say, also the offensive coordinator?
Well, it's been amazing how Bill Belichick has been grooming people for forever. I mean, we saw it when any number of different guys left, from Charlie Weiss to Bill O'Brien and another, you know, long list of guys that have been poached off the roster, and you can understand why. So Bill Belichick, I think, looks at his coaching staff probably like he looks at his team. He's always preparing, what's the phrase they use here, next man up. He not only does it with linebackers and O-linemen, he does it with coaches at all levels. And you can see the guys moving in. You know, Flores is another guy. And, you know, there's a bunch of guys that work through the system and builds in an amazing way, juggles everything that he juggles, and still finds ways to pay attention to the idea of grooming young coaches. So not surprised that he's lost in 20 years of incredible success. Not surprised that he's lost a healthy amount of coaches. But it's all part of Bill Belichick's planning and foresight, too. He understands it and tries to have guys ready to step in.
So he wants them to go on and be good head coaches as opposed to hoarding them all to himself?
I'm sure he would love to have every one of his coaches by his side that he coached with, and not spread them around the league. I'm sure if you asked Bill Belichick, he'd want Nick Saban and a number of other great guys right next to him coaching. So, but he also understands the inevitability of it. It's the same way he grooms backup players. I've been in the meeting rooms where you'll see that he asks more questions about the game plan, about techniques or whatever to backup players than he does to starters, knowing full well that the starters get all the time in practice and the backup players don't. So how do you give them a little more edge? You maybe pay a little more attention to what they're thinking in the meeting room. So he probably does the same things with coaches. He understands it's an inevitable factor in being a successful team. So as much as you can't prepare for everything, but as much as he can, he tries to prepare for that, too.
Steve DiAzzi is a former Cowboy, Giant, and Patriot with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Obviously, Dallas just introduced a head coach, and Mike McCarthy is a guy that brings a lot of experience. He's also putting together a staff that has former head coaches on it. In your opinion, Steve, how much does experience matter when you're talking about coaching in the NFL?
Well, I think it matters in terms of the team that you're presented with, and you've got a very talented team in terms of just raw talent. There's plenty of it in Dallas, and sometimes talent can get away from you if the head coach isn't as definitive a personality as you want. Maybe you go in the direction of a guy like Mike McCarthy, you say, well, this, here's a guy that's got a track record. Here's a guy who can get the attention of the locker room probably very quickly, a guy who has a path to championships and has proven it before. And maybe that gets the attention of your team because, quite honestly, if you look at the talent that Dallas has put on the field, their output has not even come close to matching. And I think the idea that Jerry Jones had was to maybe work towards bringing a veteran in and stabilizing the scenario because they've got the talent, and it's no doubt about it. And it's a marquee franchise. Everybody around the country knows and understands that the Dallas Cowboys are very talented, but they've underperformed quite a bit in at least 10 years.
So, Steve, you missed the Jerry Jones era in Dallas, right? He purchased the team after you were gone?
He actually, him and Jimmy Johnson traded me to the Giants about 2 months after they bought the team.
Oh, okay. And you played for Tom Landry.
I did, 5 years.
What was that like?
Tom Landry was a great coach, a great man, and individual who's true to his word, and a brilliant coach. I mean, another Gene Stallings was a great coach too. Ended up going to Alabama, winning one or two national championships. Tom Landry was stoic on the sidelines. He was straightforward, but he had once he was away from the sidelines and in the meeting rooms, he was a little more loose and a little more. Even once in a while, you'd catch him cracking a joke here or there. But he was a guy that that immediately commanded respect, and you could see the minute you got there that Tom Landry was what the Dallas Cowboys were about, professional at that point, and they were so well coached that they probably won you know, 5 or 10% of their games just on straight coaching alone, brilliant coaching. I've had the honor to play for some great coaches with him and Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick and a number of other very good coaches. It was, as I look back on it, it was, a murderer's row of just brilliant coaches.
Steve D'Ossi with us here after hours, a former Super Bowl champ himself. So the Instagram post from Tom Brady seems to indicate that he has not ready to retire. He says, I know I still have more to prove. You'll find me in the arena again. He's going to be 43. I don't even know how that works. I mean, he's the aberration, not the rule. But what's your reaction to Brady continuing to play in the NFL?
Not surprised at all. He's someone who's been a student of the game for a long time, and I wouldn't doubt that 10 or 11 years ago he started becoming a student on how to prolong his career, and he's done a tremendous job of it. And you look at the way he played this year, and you could probably see a drop-off because of the age, but then you look at the numbers, and you look at the people around him, and you look at how he was, the offensive line was decimated, how the receiving core was not even close to satisfactory. They tried with Josh Gordon and with Brown, but they just they couldn't pull it off, and he still ended up putting over 4,000 yards up. But you could see some little things here and there that indicate the age is catching up to nobody ever beats Father Time, but I still think he does have the ability to win in this league, and if it's with the Patriots, I think that's probably the best situation for him. But you just never know. There's going to be a lot of teams, not a lot of teams, but there'll be some teams out there that see that, and even if I wouldn't even be surprised if a team signs him for the idea that it's going to sell tickets. I know that he still has the drive, and he's long past the time. I don't know if he was ever at the time where it was his athletic ability or his arm strength or anything that got him to, six championships. I think it was that he outworked and outsmarted a lot of other teams, and I think he still has that ability.
Yeah, the brain definitely hasn't taken a hit from father time. So, Steve, I just have about 90 seconds or so left, but I always enjoy asking players from different eras what the biggest change is. The game has gone through a major transformation. So looking back on your time, you were last in the NFL in the mid-90s. What's the biggest change with football today?
I think it's smarter and safer in terms of the rules that they've made. You could get away with crazy things back in the day. And,
like what, and, Steve?
That's right. And it was, and now you've got athletes that are bigger, stronger, faster, and maybe even more athletic. On the flip side of that, you've got for example, I'm convinced that I don't know if I could have played 12 years in the NFL as it is constituted today. I would have had to actually cover somebody out of the backfield, I was never put in that position before. There's guys like me who probably would have had trouble sticking on to a team right now. But there's also guys that are playing now that might not have made it through the grind of training camp. Training camp was brutal and a war of attrition, and last, the last man standing was on the team, and you can intimidate guys a little bit. That factor's gone a little bit, but I love the athleticism of the league. I love the even though I grew up as a defensive player my whole life, I love seeing some of these tremendously talented offensive players and the skill these quarterbacks are throwing out there now. They just look, it's a different breed. These guys are athletes who are quarterbacks instead of quarterbacks who just play the sport.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.